Who's really running the executive branch of the United States government? Our next guest says we are witnessing the subversion of the office of the U.S. presidency. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but a number of executive orders have been signed over the past few weeks and months. Is it President Biden actually signing these executive orders? What are these executive orders doing other than subverting the power of the United States and taking away the power of the U.S. voter in the hand of some deep state oligarchs? Also, over the weekend, we saw a major escalation between the United States, NATO, and Russia. Are we barreling towards nuclear war? Our next guest is Colonel Douglas McGregor. Welcome back to the show, Colonel. Great to see you.
Thanks. Happy to be here, Cleve.
Well, it's my pleasure. Let's start with the presidency right now. We'll get to Russia and the major pieces of news over the weekend there, because that seems like it's all part of this deep state agenda. You've seen, as you've called out, a number of these executive orders that have been signed over the past few weeks. We see President Biden, of course, now stepping aside at the will of President Obama, calling for, with the use of the 25th Amendment, that he would be pushed out of office. In your experience, being in Washington, D.C., being inside the Pentagon, serving President Trump, who do you think is running the show inside of the White House right now? Is it President Biden?
No, I don't think it is. And there's precedent for this. Let me talk a little bit about what happened in the past and then talk specifically about President Biden's condition. President Woodrow Wilson suffered a stroke and was effectively incapable of exercising his powers as president. And his wife literally stepped into the vacuum and ran the federal government, ran the White House. Now, of course, she had a lot of help, and she was a smart woman, and she knew what her husband wanted. So it was not immediately obvious to everyone that Wilson was out of it, but he was effectively out of business as president of the United States. This is after World War I. So we've been through this before. The second time, I would argue, is when FDR was elected for his final term. He was effectively a dead man. And after he was inaugurated in 1945 in January, he lasted 60 days before dying. So he was effectively dead for all intents and purposes when he was elected. So there were people doing his business for him. We now know in retrospect that included people like Harry Hopkins and Harry Dexter White. Harry Dexter White was an NKVD agent working directly for Stalin. And we think Harry Hopkins probably was, at the very least, a knowing accomplice for Harry Dexter White. So they continued the destructive policies that led to the occupation of Eastern Europe and absolutely unconditional assistance to the Soviet Union, which made Stalin the real victor in the Second World War. So those are two examples we've been through before. It appears right now that President Biden hasn't really been in complete control of his faculties for some time. I recall an incident 2.5 years ago, and this was clearly an accident, and I don't know whether it was CNN or NBC or who was doing the filming at the time. But he was sitting at his desk, and he was making some statements, and Kamala Harris stood immediately behind him, and someone put a document for his signature in front of him. I can't recall if that was an executive order or something else, but he looked down and he said, "Oh, what is this?" And she leaned over and she said, "Just sign it." And so he said, "Oh, yes," and he signed it. I think he's been signing away all sorts of things, left and right, effectively a puppet for the people who are in Washington. And I think that was a design from the very beginning. This is an excessively old man who no longer had complete control of his faculties, someone that could be manipulated and pushed in the direction that they wanted to go. As little as I think of Biden and as flawed a person as he is, I don't think that a younger Biden 20 years ago would have willfully or voluntarily signed off on most of these executive orders. Because at least in his past, he demonstrated some devotion to the country and its integrity as a state. The things that he's been indulging in are things that are absolutely destructive to the United States, whether it's open borders, effectively talking about, allowing people to stay in this country in perpetuity by offering some form of amnesty, essentially disassembling our criminal justice system by releasing criminals onto the streets. You've got to go through all these executive orders and look at the consequences of them. I really don't believe that the younger Biden would have done those things. So I think this has been going on for a long time, and this is why I argued strongly that he should be removed and replaced by someone who's actually competent. Now, we know that that means inevitably Kamala Harris. Whether or not we want to discuss her competency is another matter. But she at least has the presence of mind to understand the gravity of the situation. And we may eventually, before the convention even, or immediately after the convention, face a situation that we did with Richard Nixon. When Nixon, first of all, lost his vice president, because his vice president, Spiro Agnew, was accused of tax evasion or something, he was removed and we got Gerry Ford. Gerry Ford was picked because Gerry Ford threatened no one and hadn't particularly offended anybody throughout his entire career. He wasn't an especially bright person, but he filled the role as vice president. Then suddenly Nixon had to resign. So he had to move Gerry Ford up to the top slot, for which he really wasn't suited, and find a new vice president. That turned out to be Nelson Rockefeller. All of these things, all these nominees for vice president and president and so forth, had to be approved by the Senate and the House. So we could see something like this unfold in the months ahead, because I really think that President Biden is non-compos menace. He's beyond help right now. So he should be removed. I mean, it's elder abuse to keep him where he is.
Oh, it absolutely is elder abuse. And a new poll out this morning says that most Americans want Biden to resign right now. Get out now. I've long said I don't think he'll be president by November 5th. I think he'll have handed over the presidency to Kamala Harris right now. She's already taking security briefings. Effectively, seems like she's running the show. But really, in your experience, you think it's the deep state, it's the permanent Washington that's running the show forcing.
The question, who is it? Yeah, who's in the White House? You know, first of all, right. You've got Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan seems to be the architect of a lot of things. Now, he's got a lot of people to help him, people from outside the administration. A couple of years ago, I was told that George Soros routinely called the White House and actually called Jake Sullivan as well as the president to express his views. He's not the only one. I would love to get a hold of the White House phone log and see who's been talking to whom. I think that would be very illuminating, and it would be very frightening to most Americans. So I think that Jake Sullivan, Tony Blinken, those two in particular, and their supportive staffs, you have to look at the makeup of those staffs, the composition, who are these people, where do they come from? And I think you're going to discover that these are committed, frankly, Marxists who see a future for the United States that most Americans would never devise. And they're trying to use the executive order powers and the subservience of Congress right now to whatever they want, for reasons that have a lot to do with corruption on the Hill, to exploit President Biden and push us in directions from which it's going to be difficult to recover. And I think that's what they're doing. You know, the sort of irreversible momentum we used to hear about years ago, I think that's what they've tried to create. We're on a downhill slide at high speed into the abyss of Marxism, cultural Marxism, and all the values that go with that.
Yeah, opening our borders, continued moves to continue to allow illegal immigrants to pour across our borders, funneling additional money to Ukraine, funneling additional money to Israel. Today we have NATO states telling citizens to leave Lebanon. Over the weekend, we've seen a major escalation in our proxy war against Russia. And it seems like, I know we talk about this, and I think people say that we're never going to get to a direct hot war with Russia. People can say this all they want. But over the weekend, I think we saw one of the largest escalations we've seen thus far. Can you talk about where we're heading with Russia while President Biden is really no longer president of the United States?
Well, remember that Biden made a number of statements starting in March of 2022 about so-called red lines. I, as president, will never permit this because it would lead to a global conflict with Russia. And that had to do with high-speed modernized aircraft, strike missiles, strike systems that would bring us inevitably into collision with Russia because we would strike Russian soil. All of those red lines have been crossed. I don't think he knows what he's doing. And I began to think that if the White House is a sanitarium, then the Hill is probably a madhouse. because you've got vast numbers of people who don't understand what war means, because we've had conflicts with so many weak opponents over the last 25, 30 years that we don't understand that Russia and China and Iran and other states like them actually dispose over considerable military power that can threaten us. In other words, that we're no longer invulnerable, invincible, and immune to attack, that they can reach us in the United States. So what happened over the weekend is particularly worrisome, because historically, the president, who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces, is de facto also the leading political figure in NATO. And normally nothing would happen on the ground inside NATO, in any NATO country, militarily directed at anybody else, that the president would not be aware of. I mean, that certainly was my experience. I was on the Czechoslovak and East German borders back in the late 1970s. And at one point, we actually thought that the Soviets were about to launch an offensive. It turned out to be another feint, where they move up towards the border, stop, turn around, and go back to their barracks. But I was on the border, and we were reporting what we were seeing, and those reports went all the way to Alexander Haig, who was the supreme commander at the time of Europe, SACEUR, in other words, the military commander-in-chief of NATO, and to the White House. In other words, you had soldiers at the time in the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, standing on the border, and I was in the 1st of the 1st Cavalry at that point. All these cavalry units perform border duty, which is why we need to get them back on the Mexican border. That's another subject. But we were at the time defending the East German and Czechoslovak borders. We were reporting these things. So I know that the command and control in NATO is eminently capable of controlling everything that happens from the Arctic Circle of the Finnish border all the way down to the Black Sea, where NATO's border with Romania and Bulgaria end. In other words, nothing can really happen there unless somebody knows about it in the White House. So over the weekend, we discovered that at least two or three drones, I'm told, were flown. Now, where were they flown from? We're assuming Finnish soil, because the target was about 200 kilometers east of Finland, up near the Arctic Circle on the Kola Peninsula, where the
now
Russians
a member
have,
of NATO.
Yeah, and Kola Peninsula is important because the Russians have strategic bombers located on the Kola Peninsula. And you go a little further and they have their submarines, their strategic submarine arsenal. It's a very highly militarized area. All of a sudden, these drones appear out of nowhere, but we think they were flown from Finland. They managed to destroy a supersonic Tupolev bomber on the ground. Now, this is something that under normal circumstances, the Ukrainians, with what they've got, could never reach. You're talking about trying to fly something like that from Ukraine all the way up to the Arctic Circle, it would never make it. So we think it probably came from Finland. This now means that we have done something that the Russians have told us is a red line. We have actually permitted attacks to be launched from NATO soil, ostensibly by the Ukrainians. Now, how Ukrainians got to Finland is incomprehensible to me. But again, that sort of thing is not going to happen without Washington knowing about it, certainly not without the CIA and MI6 in London knowing about it. And if you were president of the United States, Clayton, and somebody came to you and said, this is our plan, this is what we want to do, and you had any presence of mind, you would say, well, that's outrageous. That means we're at war with Russia. I don't want to do that. And Biden has said that repeatedly, yet this is exactly what we've done.
What do you think the response from Russia's side will be? Now, this is something Putin has said. This would be World War III. This is what something that Dmitry Medvedev has said. This would be World War III. An attack from NATO soil would be a bridge too far. That would be a red line. Now, it seems like we've been bumping up against these red lines now for the past year or more.
I think President Putin knows that we are roughly 95, 96 days from the anticipated election in November. I think his preference would be to absorb the damage and wait to see whether or not there is a new administration in November that is likely to change policy. I think that's his preference. Putin is not an impulsive man. He's also not a dangerous, unbalanced maniac by any stretch of the imagination. This is a man who's bent over backwards to avoid war with the United States and NATO. He's taken a lot of abuse from us. He's put up with a lot of infractions, a lot of crossing of his red lines, but he wants desperately to avoid that war. We, on the other hand, have continually escalated and escalated and escalated, and this is now a very serious escalation. We're not talking about drones flown from within Ukraine by, say, British intelligence or American intelligence officers designed to strike targets in Crimea. That's different. You're flying from within the Ukrainian airspace and soil. This is now from a NATO country, ostensibly Finland. I don't think the Finns may be completely aware, and this is another problem. I think the Finns and the Swedes are now beginning to wake up slowly to the reality that they are now platforms for the projection of American military power against Russia. I don't think they necessarily signed up for that. What they were signing up for was protection from Russian attack. What they become, though, is this unsinkable aircraft carrier for U.S. forces against Russia. That's very dangerous, because there is always the possibility that the Moscow decides, well, we're not going to attack all of NATO on this particular occasion, because they can target everything along this 1,000-mile front, if you will. We'll just limit it to where we think this was flown from inside Finland. And I'm sure by now the Russians know where it came from or where the drones came from. They know what was used against them. I mean, this sort of thing you can't conceal once it's been done. And they could easily say, well, we're going to do this. Now, the reason for not doing it is, as I said before, Putin would prefer to wait for the outcome of the election and see whether or not it makes any difference. But he has every right to respond. The question is, what do we do? Are we going to be dumb enough to respond to that with more acts of war against Russia? Or are we going to step back and say, well, we pushed too far because a war with Russia is not what we want? I don't know, but you know, when's the last time anybody discussed this with the American electorate?
I haven't heard any discussion of this from Kamala Harris. I haven't heard any discussion of this from President Biden. And I haven't heard anything from the White House podium on this. And so I think if we ask the American people, we can ask the American people right now, do you want a hot war with Russia? Do the Finnish people want a hot war with Russia? I'll ask our Finnish viewers who watch us on a regular basis. Let us know. If you're up there in near the Arctic Circle, do you want to be wiped off the map because of Washington, D.C. and this and the NATO brass? Colonel, it's
Before we leave this, I just want to make one quick note that we also have information that a series of ambushes were conducted against Russians in Central Africa. These are Wagner people. In other words, Russian mercenaries that came in and replaced us in countries where formerly we were operating, quote unquote, against Islamists. All of a sudden, with great success, far beyond the normal capabilities of the Islamists, there were attacks killing 50, 60 Russians in an ambush on the ground in Central Africa. Now, we've also discovered that they were being advised and assisted by Ukrainian forces. In other words, advisors from the Ukrainian military. This is another example of how far this war has gone and how dangerous it has become, because now the Ukrainians went to Central Africa, assisted the people that we previously were attacking because of their Islamist agenda, and they are now helping these Islamists kill Russians in an area of no strategic importance to Ukraine whatsoever. Again, could this happen without us knowing it? I rather doubt it. I think these Ukrainians are operating as surrogates for us. So if the Ukrainians can do that in Central Africa, in a place like Chad or Niger, or any of these countries where we were formerly operating, could they not also go to Finland and launch drone strikes against the Russians at a strategic air base and destroy a bomber? And I guess the answer is yes. All of this is very disturbing because it looks like an out-of-control operation. It's very similar to Stanley Kubrick's movie. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Everything's out of control. Who the hell is in charge? I don't think Biden's in charge of anything. I'm not sure Kamala necessarily knows very much, Kamala Harris. Again, who's behind these people? And I hesitate to point to specific people and give you their names and say they're doing something because I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the White House. And now we know the Hill is certifiable. I mean, they're ready to underwrite a war against Iran on behalf of Israel. Again, is that something we Americans want to do? When's the last time that was debated openly and in public? Well, it's very hard to do that when the media is entirely on the side of the government in terms of its interest in waging global war everywhere we can. It's insane, and it's dangerous, and it's out of control.
It is Dr. Strangelove. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. And yeah, who is running the shop right now? Congress is on vacation. President Biden is, by all accounts, you know, brain dead. It's Weekend at Bernie's. Is it in President Obama? President Obama, who set up shop and bought a house in Washington, D.C., the only president in 100 years to buy a house in Washington, D.C. When you leave Washington, you get out of Washington, D.C. So maybe it's President Obama running the show there. Unbelievable. And I think, you know, everything is changing in 24 hours spades right now. And I think I would be really surprised if President Biden remains president by November 5th of this year. But we'll see. Colonel Douglas McGregor, always the voice of reason in a sea of madness right now. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, Colonel. Great to see you.
Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it, Clayton.